Good morning. Let's see if we can get this to the right height here a little bit. All right, there we go. 6'4" is always a challenge. So as Clint just mentioned, John Walker is not here today, won't be for the next few weeks, so you're, like last Father's Day, you're stuck with me. My name is, Clint mentioned, Gary Mahan, and my wife, Jen, and I have attended Willowbrook for nearly 15 years now. As I mentioned last time I spoke, Jen and I have four grown children, but when they were young, they loved to have books read to them at bedtime. One night, I had read a book, or maybe it was 10. It was easy to lose track during those times. But we said a short prayer, and my oldest son, Josh, when maybe he was 3 or 4 years old, looked up at me and he said, "Dad, why do we pray?" And so I responded something to the effect that it was just the way that we can thank God, and it was the way that we can talk with him. You know, and I thought this would satisfy Josh, who was our inquisitive child, but if you know most 3- and 4-year-olds, I should have known better. And then he said something that I've really never forgotten. He looked up at me and he said, "Dad, how do I know the voice that I hear in my head is God's and not mine?" You know, and of course, my response to him was deeply theological and started off with a long, So hearing from God, knowing his voice, this is not only a question for a 4-year-old, but has been an important question for adults for centuries. This question, this longing to know God and to hear his voice and to know what we should do is not just wishful thinking, nor imagination, but it is part of the core of the relationship that God wants to have with us. You know, this aspect of the Christian faith is highlighted in the scripture and is where I want to start our conversation today. In John 10:27, Jesus states that, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." You know, this verse seems straightforward, but I've always been both challenged and encouraged by it. Challenged in the reference to believers as sheep. I mean, does anyone like the sound of being referred to as a sheep? I didn't initially. How about being referred to as a wolf or a bear? You know, something big, strong, independent, and fierce. That would be cool, right? But then I thought, you know, can wolves or bears be shepherded? Are they easily led? Do they have the capacity to, or nature, to listen and to follow? Has anyone ever heard of a wolf herder or a bear herder? I haven't. And I'm guessing if anyone tried it, that didn't last too long. But Jesus was intentional in his reference to us as sheep in this verse. According to people who know and study sheep, they tell us that sheep have excellent hearing ability. Their hearing is much better than their vision, and sheep specifically have very poor depth perception. No, I'm not a recent subscriber to the Nature Channel, but this is very fascinating, and that means that sheep may not recognize when trouble is close to them because of how they judge things visually. Yet sheep learn the sounds of those that tend to them, and from whistle commands to voice commands, and they trust what they hear, and their shepherd will lead them to safety. You know, in keeping with our church's tradition of having a couple of well-timed jokes sprinkled throughout the sermon, I searched Google several times to find a really, really good sheep joke, but I came up empty. Honestly, they were all really bad. No, I'm serious. They were. Like, of course, what do sheep do on Father's Day? They have barbecues. Barbecues? See, I told you they were really bad. I warned you. But back to sheep. Another interesting aspect to sheep is that they move instinctively towards other animals or even people that they perceive as friends. You know, people have long known this aspect of sheep, and it is part of what enables them to be shepherdable. Sheep perceive the sheep as a safe place and move towards them, especially if they perceive other threats at the same time. So while sheep get a bad rap for being maybe kind of dumb, for their flock mentality, They are really smart, actually, and they know that for them there is safety in numbers. So while we may not be referred to as bears or wolves in this verse, we shouldn't be encouraged to be referred to as sheep, because sheep have a keen ability to hear and know and respond to their shepherd. So now I'm actually a little bit cooler with the reference to sheep, because the Lord is telling us that like sheep, we can do two important things. One, we can hear and listen to Jesus, the shepherd's voice. And two, we can react and respond to his voice and ultimately follow it. So it's encouraging to know that as a believer, that I have this capacity, because I honestly don't always feel this way. And I would guess that you may not either. In our verse, Jesus states that my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. You know, this points to both our ability to hear the Lord and to follow him, but it is not the only place in Scripture that refers to the Lord interacting with believers using his voice, nor the importance of following through on it. From the first book in the Bible of Genesis 22, God tells Abraham, "In your offspring, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." And later on, Jesus said in John 5 that he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death and into life. An hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. You know, God throughout Scripture is highlighting the importance and necessity of understanding his voice. You know, we see its importance now from Scripture, but how do we hear from God? What does his voice sound like? Thankfully, Scripture points us to the most definitive way that we hear his voice. In Romans 10:17, it says, "Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." You know, but before I get too far into the verse on Romans, I need a short detour, or as John calls it, he calls it a footnote. And so to maybe it's not so much a footnote, but more the elephant in the room. And I suspect when some of you may have heard that the message today was on hearing the Lord's voice, you might have gotten a little excited and thought I had uncovered some secret to hearing God's audible voice. But I haven't. I mean, who hasn't wanted God to make his intentions very clear and simply just tell us out loud what he wants? Now, I think there should be room in our faith for God to do this. Scripture does speak of accounts of him using his audible voice to communicate with large groups or individuals. You might remember in Acts 9, when Saul was chasing the early church, the Lord called out to him such that his, you know, him and his traveling companions heard it. And the verse says that, you know, he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Or when Jesus was baptized, he came out of the water and God said, "This is my beloved son, listen to him." And that's from Mark 9. So there are certainly other examples, but I suspect for most, God utilizing his audible voice is rare. So the listening that I am talking about is spiritually or heart appraised. I believe this is intentional for if the Lord regularly spoke to us in an audible voice, the necessity for faith on our part would be honestly greatly diminished. And we know that developing faith is important, as the writer in Hebrews 6 indicates, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." So end of side note. But back to Romans 10:17, that says, "Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." The most definitive way and sure way to, quote, hear God's voice is through his written word. But what does that mean? Several weeks ago, John talked about Scripture and its uniqueness, and that it's the only book where the author is with us and explains it to us and it gives life to us. This, to me, is a large degree of how we hear God's voice. You know, you may recall when I spoke last year that I'm an engineer by training, and so I like kind of techie things. And I've often thought that I really hope that when we get to heaven, there's sort of this biblical DVR, you know, kind of a digital video recorder where we can hit rewind and see the certain experiences or certain events from the Bible. One of my top five would be the scene of the two disciples on their way to Emmaus that is detailed in Luke 24. You know, this is the story of two guys who were Jesus' followers who head out from Jerusalem on the Sunday after Jesus' crucifixion. There have been some reports that Jesus' tomb was empty earlier in the morning, and as they're discussing these recent events, they happen upon a stranger who joins them on the seven-mile journey to the town of Emmaus. You know, they don't initially recognize Jesus, but he patiently explains scripture to them concerning the recent events. But then when they start to have dinner, he vanishes. But what I really love most about this account of these two guys is their comments afterwards, where they say to each other, "Were not our hearts aflame within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?" I think I love this account because I feel that we are in a way on our own road to Emmaus, with Jesus himself as our guide, as our shepherd. As we listen to his voice, his instruction, his counsel, our hearts can be set aflame like those two disciples from so many years ago. When we hear by the word of God, we hear with a set of spiritual senses, and we are changed increasingly to his image and increasingly recognize and know his voice as a result. You know, maybe this sounds a little abstract. So what does this look like? What does this look like practically when we hear by the word of God and act accordingly? You know, for me, and by way of a few examples, when I feel too busy or too tired to help a friend or to do something to serve those in need, I might hear his encouraging voice from Galatians 6:9 say, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." When I feel down on myself and wonder why I feel so distant from God, I hear the reassuring voice of the Lord saying to me from Hebrews 13:5, "I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you." When I'm stopped in my tracks by a magnificent sunset or the awesomeness of a clear night with countless stars, my heart reacts in wonder, and I hear from Psalm 19:1, "The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands." Or in other times when I may be tempted to cut a corner at work just to get it done because, you know, after all, who's really going to know? I sense the Lord's stern voice saying from Colossians 3, "To work with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord, and whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men." You know, we often have many thoughts and impulses rattling around in our heads, but we can know we are hearing from God when those thoughts and voices align and follow his written word. This is hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Maybe you've heard this one, but there was a couple from up north who decided to go to Florida for a few days to thaw out during one particularly cold winter. Since both spouses worked, they had to had difficulty coordinating their schedules, so they made the decision to have the husband leave for Florida on a certain day with the wife following him up a day later. The man made it down to Florida and arrived at the hotel, and upon getting to his room, he decided to send his wife back up north an email. However, he left off one letter in typing his wife's email address and sent the email off without realizing his error. In another part of the country, a widow had just returned from the funeral of her husband, a godly pastor of many years who had passed just a few days earlier. She decided to check her email because she was expecting to hear from her husband's relatives and friends. Upon reading the first email, she set out a loud scream, fainted, and fell to the floor. The husband's son rushed into the room and found his mother on the floor, and he glanced up at the computer screen and saw the following email message. "To my loving wife, I've just checked in. Everything is ready for your arrival here tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you then, your devoted husband. P.S. Sure is hot down here." You know, we can get ourselves into trouble if our listening gets a little mixed up and we assign thoughts or voices to God that don't align with his written word. This is how we as sheep, we stray. You know, we've all heard of situations of people who have believed they have heard from God and have over time fallen from truth and sometimes even led others incorrectly. How can something like this happen? Is there a warning for us in their examples? I think so. We know that if we are in Christ, that we are new creatures, and that the old things have passed away and new things have come. But we still have ongoing work we need to do in regards to what we think, listen to, and ultimately do. Thankfully, again, Scripture has given us a clue and safeguards, as is written in 2 Corinthians 10:5, where Paul says, "We take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." Part of this hearing, this listening to God, is this filtering process, this identification of our thoughts and impulses and their alignment with Scripture or not. You know, even as we practice correct listening and hearing, we may sometimes find it difficult to hear his voice. And there can be a few reasons why this happens. Sometimes we become distracted with the things of this life as other, quote, voices vie for our attention. You might remember the story of Mary and Martha from the book of Luke, chapter 10. And Martha was distracted by all her work and wanted help. Jesus said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her." You know, when our kids were young, we'd often go to the mall for our entertainment. Yeah, we were pretty crazy. On one such occasion, the Mahan clan and another family and all of their kids began our mall journey at the food court. And while we were taking too long to figure out if we should go to Burger King or Taco Bell or Subway, our daughter Elizabeth, probably only 3 or 4 at the time, turned and was just watching the carousel. Her big blue eyes marveled as she watched the sparkled horses and carriages go around and around, and the bright lights and cheerful music made it all that much grander to her. I was standing several feet off, and I was honestly just enjoying watching her face as she marveled at the Eastview Mall carousel in the eyes of a young girl who loved everything that sparkled. But in time, the group had made a meal decision, and we started to move out, but Elizabeth did not hear the announcement. The Mahan carousel was moving out, and Elizabeth was engrossed in the carousel. But as I lingered to watch her for a moment and to make sure she would catch up, but in that moment, and in an instant, she realized that she had lost sight of us and that she could no longer hear her flock. And the look on her face went from complete fear, from complete delight to fear, as she realized that she was all alone. At which point I rushed over and I scooped her up and all was good. But that's often the way it is with distraction. Things that are good, interesting, and even necessary can become distractions and cause us to distance ourselves from his voice. And then suddenly we wonder at our predicament and why we feel so disconnected. Speaking of carousels, did you hear about the children who caught a cold after riding the carousel? No? No? Apparently, there was something going around. Okay. I know. The last one. Last one, I promise. I don't know how John finds these week in, week out, but... you know, I mentioned earlier how sheep have poor vision. However, there is an attribute of their vision that is an exception to this. Sheep have tremendous peripheral vision. Sheep possess nearly 320-degree peripheral vision. And for you geometry fans out there, that's almost complete vision all the way around. By contrast, humans only have 120 degrees of peripheral vision. So I would imagine, on one hand, the excellent peripheral vision helps sheep identify if predators are coming at them from nearly every angle. But on the other hand, that nearly full span of vision provides so much more opportunity for things to enter their view to be a distraction. And a distraction could lead them to wander off. Another reason why sheep need a good shepherd, just like we do. You know, there's no easy answer to distraction, since it can be so subtle. But one of the ways that we can reduce distraction, as noted by the writer in Psalm 46, says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." You know, while distraction can hinder our listening, so can hearing it, understanding it, and not following through on it. The exhortation from Romans 3:15 reads, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me." This was referring to the Jews who were freed from Egypt and ultimately chose not to follow through on what he told them. This is also an encouragement and also a warning for us today. You know, sometimes we may not like what we hear, and then we question if what we think we are hearing is really from God. One last Mahan kid story. You'll have to cut me a little slack since it's Father's Day. But happy Father's Day again to all those fathers out there. But our son Chris started walking at a very early age, like 8 or 9 months. He was this little Mighty Mike, kind of Frankenstein walking everywhere. One night, when maybe he was 12 to 18 months old, I was putting away the clean dishes from the dishwasher, and he walked over and became fascinated with the shiny, sharp knives. And for those of you that heard John's sermon several weeks ago on a particular brand of expensive knives, these were that brand. And yes, they could cut pennies, and even more so, the fingers to little guys. So I told him a couple of times not to touch the sharp knives, and then because I was concerned he would hurt himself, I had to discipline him and sit him out on the couch for a few minutes. After that, I went and reconnected with him and let him down, and he toddled off, but to my surprise, right back to the dishwasher and right back to the sharp knives. Surprisingly, this happened 3 times, that I had to have him sit on the couch, disciplined, because he was not following through on what I was asked telling him to do, which was ultimately for his own safety. Thankfully, we have a faithful father who is patient, more patient than I was with Chris then, and he guides us when we choose not to listen. This dynamic, as God, as our loving father, is indicated in Hebrews 10:6. The Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastens everyone he accepts as his son. I believe as this happens and we respond positively, we learn to know his voice more, just like sheep who learn the voice of their shepherd and then increasingly and more instinctively follow it. The famous and beautiful Psalm 23 details the Lord as our shepherd and echoes this theme of guidance and correction when the psalmist, it says in verse 4, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The staff was the tool the shepherds used to guide and to steer the sheep back into place and to safety. You know, we've been talking a lot about listening and hearing God, but let's not forget the desired result of that exercise, and that result is highlighted at the end of our verse and from today, and it says, "They follow me." You may recall from earlier that sheep have an instinctive behavior that makes them shepherdable, that sheep move towards other animals or people they perceive as friends. In other words, sheep follow their shepherd. I also bet not many of you were hoping to learn this much about sheep today, but here you are. Like sheep, as we learn the sound and the voice of his voice and then follow him, the following other voices becomes less and less likely and desirable. This result of following him is also highlighted in John 10, where Jesus says, "A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of a stranger." When I'm not sure, I often see this verse as more of a promise, and sometimes I need to accept this by faith. I would like to say that I've got this topic all figured out, and that makes me qualified to talk on it today, but that wouldn't be entirely true. Sure, my listening has improved over the years as I've tried and missed the mark, or I've tried and God was in it, but there are times when I feel like I'm responding to my son, Josh, all over again when he asked, "How do we know if it's God?" But that's also why I like this subject, and I feel it's so important because it's something we are all working through. You know, the past few weeks with work have been very busy. I'm in engineering and software, and sometimes when software doesn't work as it's intended and it impacts customers, there can be a lot of focus and urgency on it. That was my last few weeks. On top of that, it's quarterly review time, and I need to provide my teams of engineers with reviews and discuss their performance and provide meaningful feedback. All this to say that I've been busy and distracted, and honestly, despite putting in a number of hours, I wasn't where I wanted to be with this message this past Thursday. On my way home from work that evening, I had the idea to call Clint and see if maybe he was by chance already ready for next Sunday, and maybe we could switch just to buy me a little more time. But honestly, I never made that call. As I drove home, I turned off the radio, I mentally put work aside, and I intentionally worked to be still. I then simply prayed and asked God what he wanted me to do. And in that time, I sensed God say, "It's okay. I'll help you with what to say." And to that, I simply responded with, "Okay." God's capacity to meet us where we are in whatever circumstances is amazing to me. And it honestly seems limitless. And often that interaction requires a measure of both asking and listening and ultimately following. Luke 11:10 reassures us of this when it says, "For everyone who asks, receive, and everyone who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." This boils down to relationship with him, and like any good relationship, it requires listening, dedicated listening, listening that is intentional, and listening that requires a measure of stillness. We know the story of Elijah from 1 Kings, where Elijah flees from his enemies and he waits to hear from God. Elijah thought that God might speak to him in the strong wind or in the ground-moving earthquake or the fierce fire. But instead, he speaks to Elijah in what the Bible refers to as a still, small voice. God still chooses to speak to us today in that still, small voice. I would encourage you to find time to be still, to take time to study his word, and to listen by it in everyday circumstances. My hope is that you take away from this message that being a sheep is a good thing. Being one of his sheep is the best thing. For it means that you can hear and follow the shepherd, Jesus. It also means that he knows you, and because he knows you, he knows what's best for you and where he wants to guide you. Let's pray.